Okay, so we're on Daf Yud-Beis tonight. That's all focused. So we're ready. We made it halfway down the column. Let me just do a little piece, a little leftover from last night, and then I'll be it. So we spoke about whether we count from Tishrei or from Nisan. Yeah. So he goes through this. He goes to the Ran, which we've gone through several times before. I'll just mention it again. He says that if I say it's Rosh Hashanah is Tishrei, so to say man's created in Tishrei, and then he sinned in Tishrei, and God judged him in Tishrei, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Adam Rishon, just like I've judged you today, so too I'm going to judge your progeny, and you went with Bedimus, in other words, you came out pardoned, so too your progeny will come out pardoned. That's one side. But if I say the world's created in Nisan, so what's the significance of having Rosh Hashanah? So the Ran answer is the first of Tishrei was selected as the day of judgment because Yom Kippur, the day of atonement, was established on the 10th of Tishrei. And that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu begave Klal Yisrael, and it was Hashem Moshe Rabbeinu up to Har Sinai after the Maaseh Egel. Then he went up several times, and not what could be shown him. But most, according to the mainstream thinking, he went up three times. And last time he went up on Rosh Chodesh Elul, he comes down on Yom Kippur, and Hashem forgives Klal Yisrael. So he says, Hashem in his mercy gave us a service of Meitshuva, 10 days of repentance between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur as a grace period, which people could still repent for their sins before he passes final judgment on them. So that's the way that Cheshbon works. Okay, so we got it all worked out. You would ask about this as well. Now, Tosfos on Chav Zayin, there was an inconsistency. Rav Lazar HaKalir, now Rav Lazar HaKalir is the author of many Piyutim. I don't know if Sephardim have many Piyutim from him, but in the Ashkenazim have Piyutim left and right from Rav Lazar HaKalir. And there's a whole machloket when he lived. Some want to say, the Bali Tosfot want to say that he was a Tana, and they identify him, according to the Rush, with Rav Lazar Reb Shimon, like the son of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. And some date him as late as, like, I think, like the 11th century. But the one way you can say it is, like, the way Roy Beryl Wine has in his history book, that he's at around the 6th century, I think. Anyway, Rav Lazar Kalir and the Piyut composed for Shmini Atzeret indicates the world was created in Tishrei. That's the way Rav Lazar has it. He says, whereas in the Piyut, on reciting Pesach, he writes the world was created in Nisan. So he's got, he got two Piyutim. One Piyut, he says the world was created in Tishrei. One, it says in Nisan. Rabbeinu Tam reconciles these two contradictory Piyutim, suggesting there were two stages in the world's creation. Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim, meaning, he says that the world was actually created in Nisan, as Rabbi Yeshua says, and we saw that Rashi held that way. He says, but the idea was conceived by Hashem, so to speak, 6 months earlier in Tishrei. The Tishrei Allah b'machshav libarot. I said this last night. And it was Tishrei, he's thinking he created, and then he's now Rashi at the beginning of Bereishis. Now we're going to give a Hezbollah, I think, to what you would ask last night. Rashi at the beginning of Bereishis, citing a Medrash, says that Hashem originally intended to create the world, but Midat Adin, with the attribute of uncompromising judgment and strictness. For the end, he decided to incorporate Midat HaRachamim. He saw that the world couldn't last with Midat HaDin, so he was sorry for Midat HaRachamim. With Midat HaDin, because it was apparent the world would not be able to exist without Midat HaRachamim. The Aruch Lanier, who's Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger, Robert, you listening, suggests a connection between the Machshava mentioned by Rashi and that mentioned by Rabbeinu Tam. In Tishrei, Hashem thought of creating the world means that Hashem wanted to create it with only Midat HaDin. So this is Alav Machshava means he thought that's his original Machshava, Midat HaDin. The actual world was created in Nisan and incorporated Midat HaRachamim and Midat HaDin. Accordingly, suggests the Aruch Lanier, Rosh Hashanah is an appropriate time for Yom HaDin, even according to the Tanna of Rabbi Yeshua, because that represents the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu thought of creating the world with Midat HaDin. That's the Yom HaDin, you know, in Tishrei. But anyway, but he created it in Nisan. Okay. What? Well, that's why Hashem created with Rachamim. Okay. Now we're on Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Robert, you with us? Okay. So 12A, we're midway down the column at the two dots. Okay. Now again, in the mission we did on Daf 8, so we said the first of Tishrei, i.e., what we call Rosh Hashanah, is Rosh Hashanah Lashanim for years, which we said was for the non-Jewish kings. And in the Shemitim Eliyoblot, for the Shemitah years begin and end on Tishrei, begin on Tishrei, and then Eliyoblot, the Yovel year begins on Tishrei, and we said that was according to Rabbi Shmuel, but Oshel Rabbi Chaim Broka, we learned in Daf Chet, he holds that the Tishrei ushers in the Yovel year, and not 100%. He says then Lenatia, it's for a sapling, that if you plant the tree, so then that's the, let's say I plant the sapling more than 30 days before Rosh Hashanah comes in and it's 1 year old, and then Libra code is the last one for vegetable. Okay, now it relates to when the Masrot are going to take place for the vegetables. So let's see back in the Gemara. So Libra code. So Tana taught in a Braisa. Now it sounds like the beginning of the Braisa sounds like it's missing, but it's saying the first of Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah, Libra code for vegetables, Lamasrot for tithes, and Lenadarim for Nadarim. Now each one we have to analyze what the Tana means. Now Libra code, my name is. The Gemara says, what are Libra code? And you could say by analogy, what are Libra code in our Mishnah as well? Maaser Yerek. In other words, Libra code means for Maasrot. It means you have a certain chi of maaser, but you can't take a maaser from 1 year for another year. It has to be, it's like, again, like a taxable year. Your income for 1 year. So the maasrot are based on the yirakot that are, you know, plucked that year. So the Gemara says maaser yirak, kind of maasrot. So what's the difference in the Braisa? The Braisa says that Rosh Hashanah, the first Tishrei, is Rosh Hashanah yirakot and maasrot. So if yirakot are maaser yerek, so what's maasrot? It was the same thing. Or like we say in a certain language, it's the zelbazach, right? So the Gemara says, Tana d'Rabbanan. So the Tana teaches me on the rabbinic law, b'katani d'oraita, and then he teaches me the Torah law. Meaning, according to most Rishonim, maasrot are only d'oraita if it's dagan tirosh and yitzar. If it's grain, grapes, or oil, that would be Torah level. And then if it's fruit or vegetables, it's the Rabbana level. Now, the Rambam holds that everything is d'oraisa except for the Yirakot. But everybody agrees Yirakot are d'Rabbana. So the Tana, the Braisa, is said, Tana, we're around 10 lines to the bottom on Yud Beis and Aleph. So the Tana, the Yirakot of the Maasrot, so the Tana is teaching me that Yirakot is Maaser Yerek, the first of Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah. And the Maasrot, if it's Maaser D'oraisa, it's the first of Tishrei. So again, so it says, Tana Lirakot, he says, Tana D'Rabbanan, Tana D'Oraita. So the Gemara says, V'litni D'Oraita B'Reisha. Why doesn't he teach me the Torah law first? He should teach me Torah law Maasrot first, then teach me Yirakot, give primacy to the Torah. So the Gemara says, Ayi the Chaviv Alei Akdama. So he says, because it's so chaviv to him, so precious to him, he appreciates like all the limud the Tana does of the chachamim, so he did that first. In other words, there's a certain chashivas when the chachamim, when they derive things over, it's something like that. So he goes that way. Okay, Gabriel, are you focusing on the daf or are you doing something else? Gabriel, are you focused on the daf or something else? Okay, good. That's good. I like people focused on the daf. Okay, so the Gemara says, Vitana didan, Tana the Rabbanan, of course, came to write. And now, the Tana of our Mishnah didn't mention Maasrot at all, right? The Tana in our Mishnah, he doesn't mention Maasrot. He just says Yirakot. So he says, V'tana dan, Tana the Rabbanan, of course, came to write. So our Tana teaches me the Din Rabbanan and expects you to extrapolate on your own. You know the Din D'Oraisa as well. All right, now, the Gemara says, V'litni Maaser. So given, let's again, focusing back on the Braisa, we said that Rosh Hashanah, the first Tishrei, is the Rosh Hashanah of Yirakot Maasrot. So both are in the plural. Both are in the plural. So the Gemara is bothered by it's in the plural. So the Gemara says, V'litni Maaser. Why doesn't he just say that it's Rosh Hashanah for Maaser? In other words, Maasrot doesn't mean Reuben, Shimon, and Levi. It means for Maasrot, for different types of Maasrot. So why does it say Rosh Hashanah? It's the Rosh Hashanah for Maaser. That's what it is. For Maaser, it means Maaser D'Oraisa. It means, let's say, but Dagon Tirush and Yitzhar. There's a certain critical stage for each one of the growths. But it means that if it's achieved, if it's grain or Dagon Tirush and Yitzhar, if it's grown a third of its growth by Rosh Hashanah, or after whatever, whichever year grows a third of its growth, that's the year that the Chayv and Maaser. But the key date is the first of Tishrei. So Blitni Maaser. So the Gemara says, this is focusing on the Braisa, Echad Maaser Bechev, Echad Maaser Dagan. In other words, here, the Tana of the Braisa is holding that Maaser Dagan is on the first of Tishrei, and Maaser Behem is also on the first of Tishrei. If you remember, in the Mishnah Dachez, which I know you're looking at now, Michael, so we had a Machloket, right? So the Tana, are you sick, Daniel? I hear you sniffling, and I don't want to get cold, sick, okay? So he says, the first of Elul is Rosh Hashanah Maaser Behemah. Rav Lazar, Rav Shimon says, the first of Tishrei. So this town of the Brice is going like Rav Lazar, Rav Shimon. So the first of Tishrei is the calendar date for Maaser, and it's the calendar date as well for say again what? For Maaser Behema, right. So it means those behemoths that are born before Tishrei are in one getter, and the ones after Tishrei are in a different getter. In other words, they each, you know, go into their own pen, and then they have the Maaser taken from it. And we learned in the second calendar also different times during the year that they do it. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. So now the Gemara says four lines from the bottom. Litni Yerek. So you explain why he says Maasrot. Again, Maasrot is Maaser Behemah and Maaser Dagon. And it says, remember the Pasuk in Chumash says, Aser Taaser, Ekvot Vatzerechai, Tesedeh Shana Shana. That every year you have to take Maaser. Because Al Darshnad Aser Taaser is one is Maaser Behemah and one is Maaser Dagon. Aser Maaser. Then Shana Shana, the Pasuk teaches me that each year is segregated. Each year, I can't take from the Chadash on the Yashan, and I can't take on the Yashan on the Chadash. Let's see. Now we're going to learn in this Mishnah. We're going to clarify. You know what is the point where the Yerek becomes Chayev? In again, there's a critical point for every item when it becomes Chayev in Maasrot. So we said, let's say it's Tavua, so when it's grown a third of its growth, then it's Chayiv and Maaser, and that depends on which year it was, but 1 year before Rosh Hashanah, 1 year after Rosh Hashanah. Then we said for fruits, so there we're going with Tu B'Shvat, but the key is Chanata. In other words, Chanata is when, again, it's Machloket what Chanata is, but when it's a Pshat, when the bud of the fruit begins to come out, then that's the year that it's Chayiv to, but the calendar date is Tu B'Shvat for that. Now, for Yerakot, we normally would say that it goes with Lakita, but let's see what the Mishnah says now. He says, so the Gemara says, Litni Yerek. So why doesn't he say Yerek? Why is it Yerakot? So the Gemara says, Trei Gavni Yerek. There are two categories of vegetables. We learn the Mishnah in the second Maasrot, Yerek, Hane Egad, Mishi Egad, Mishainu Ne Egad, Mishi Maleda Kli. That for vegetables, again, so it's similar to what we learned by Dagan. In other words, before the Dagan, before the processing is complete, I can stack on it, right? I can have Achilas Arai. But then once the processing is complete, then I can't eat it all until Maasrot are taken. And by the Dagan, that was when, you know, you had me rough. The piles were leveled or whatever. So here, this Mishnah is talking about Yerek with vegetables. So Dadan, Yerek Hane'egad Mishiye'egad. In other words, with Yerakot, once they're bound, in other words, I don't know, maybe it's like celery or whatever, like you tie them in a bind, that's, he's talking about the point where I can't even stack on it. In other words, that's it. Mishaino Ne'egad is a type of vegetable that's not bound together, Mishimaleta Kli, I fill the Kli with it. So that's talking about at which point I can't even snack on it. That's a different thing. That's just talking about when I can't snack on it. All right, let me just pause for a minute. Who's got questions, comments, and thoughts, or anything that we did so far? Everybody good? Right. Okay.
When they say Maaser, even though it's Yachid, sometimes the Torah uses the language of Yachid to mean more than one.
Are you reading from the footnotes? Are you saying this on your own or reading from the footnotes?
Just from
okay. All right. You're right. What? No, we're talking about vegetables. Yerek is vegetables. Again. In other words, like, let's say you have carrots and you tie the carrots together or whatever. You know, you have celery, you tie the celery, you go in the food store, like different vegetation is tied together. So if it's a vegetable that's normally tied together, so from the time it's tied together, I can't eat it at all. I can't even snack on it. Okay, but we said that if it's been otherwise Shimon Kli. In other words, we said that when the processing is complete, I can't snack on it until I take the Maasrot. Okay, now that's not talking about the year that it's Shayach, but that's just in terms of the processing. Okay, you're right. Sometimes in Torah, the Yachid does apply to Rabbit, but here, the Gemara is saying differently, okay? So. So what's the point you want to make?
Trying to figure out
if
it's focused on
master. Right.
Tumor would already have been taken.
Right. All right. Okay. Let's see further in the Gemara. Now, All right, so now we're back to the calendar date when, you know, things are on 1 year or another year. So we said, when I say Rosh Hashanah, I mean like our Rosh Hashanah, the first of Tishrei. So we said Rosh Hashanah is the Rosh Hashanah for Yirakot. So it's going to come out for Yirakot, it's Zman Lakita, when it's plucked. That's the year that it's Chayiv and Masro, okay? So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Likate Erev Rosh Hashanah, Ashlo Tovo Shemesh. If a person, he plucked some vegetables on Erev Rosh Hashanah before nightfall. He says, V'chazar V'likate, then afterwards he collected, let's turn page, the top line in Amud Beis, V'chazar V'likate Mishtavo Shemesh. Then he plucked other vegetables after nightfall. Now, obviously, not allowed to pluck on Yontif. So please, so look at the top Tosfos. Tosfos means Tavoy Shemesh, Yerushalmi Mukila B'nachri. Yerushalmi says it's talking about where a goy plucked the vegetable for the Jew. But the Ritva learns, I think, a little simpler. The Ritva says it doesn't have to be that night. It just means after nightfall. It could be a day or two or three later as he plucks it. So he says, Ein Tormin Ma'asrin Mizalzeh. So I can't take Truma Umayser. In other words, let's say I pluck 100 heads of lettuce on Erev Tishba before nightfall. Erev Rosh Hashanah. And then I pluck another 100 heads of lettuce, you know, on some Gedalia. So I can't take, so now it's 200 heads of lettuce. So I would need, 20 would be Maaser Rishon, leaving outside the Truma, but just for simplicity, 20 heads of lettuce would be Maaser Rishon. So I can't take 20 heads of lettuce from the second group and say now my Maaser Rishon is finished. I have to take 10 from the first group and 10 from the second group because each one is a different year, right? So let's see back in the Gemara. I can't take true Maaser from the Chadash on the Yashan, Lomin and Yashan al Chadash. And I mentioned already, because the Torah says, Aser Taser equal to Watsarecha, Iosias to the Shana Shana. You take Maaser each year. Each year has to be segregated. All right, now the Braisa continues. Okay, so please, just 1 second, I'll pause, then you'll have all your questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay, so im haitashnia nechneset l'shlishi. So now we said that Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Hashanah for Shemitim, but Rosh Hashanah ushers in like each year the Shemitah cycle. So there's a 7 year cycle. So the first 6 years, leave out the Shemitah year. The first 6 years, you're always Chayav Maaser Rishon. The Maaser Rishon goes to Levi. Every year, you're Chayav Maaser Rishon. Then years 1 and 2 and 4 and 5, you have Maaser Sheni. So usually you have Maaser Rishon, Maaser Sheni. And year 3 and 6, you have Maaser Ani. So the Braisa says, in my Tashniya Nechneset L'Shlishi, let's say it's the second year going into the third year. He says, Shniya Maaser Rishon, Maaser Sheni. So the crops, the vegetables, again, this would be on a Drabana level, that he collected Erev Rosh Hashanah, so that would be year 2. So that he has Maaser Rishon and Maaser Sheni. Maaser Rishon goes to Levi, Maaser Sheni is to eat in Yerushalayim. Shlishi, Maaser Rishon and Maaser Ani. Year 3, I have Maaser Rishon and Maaser Ani. Okay, that's the Braisa. All right. Let's all stay focused. Okay, so we have a 7 year cycle. So the first 6 years, years 1 to 6, Maaser Rishon. Then years 1 and 2, and 4 and 5, I have Maaser Sheni. So Maaser Rishon, Maaser Sheni. Year 3 and 6, Maaser Ani. Okay, that's it. And then Shemitah, I'm off duty. Okay, so the Mishnah said, or the Braisa said, that if it's the second year going into the third year, and I pick, in my example, what was it, 100 heads of lettuce on Erev Rosh Hashanah, and 100 heads of lettuce after Rosh Hashanah, so, and it's year 2 and 3, so the first 100, I have Maaser Rishon Sheni, because that's year 2. The second 100 is year 3. I have Maaser Rishon and Maaser Ani. Okay, that's what we did so far in the Braisa. Okay, everybody good so far? Any other questions? Good? Okay, let's go further. Now, we're line 6 in the Gemara on Yud Beis Amud Beis. So the Gemara says Ben Ani Mile. So Ben Ani Mile, let's look in Rashi. The B'Shlishi in Noeg Ba Maaser Sheni. How do I know that in the third year of the cycle there's no Maaser Sheni, but there is a Maaser Ani? So the Gemara says Amar Rabbi Shuben Levi. So Rabbi Shuben Levi says, and we spoke about Rabbi Shuben Levi. Remember that he's the one who's the only one mentioned in the Mishnah and the Braisa and the Gemara. He tachalel aser kol masar tvurfa bashna shlishit shnana maaser. So he quotes a pasuk at the beginning of Parshat Ki Tavo. Let me get Parshat Ki Tavo open. It always helps to have the public in front of you. All right. So it says when you finish taking to Master Shnat HaMaaser, it calls the third year the year of the Maaser, the single Maaser, right? Shanash Aimba Ilamaser Akad. Now, vis-a-vis, up until year three. So year one and two, I was taking Maaser Rishon Sheni. Year one, Maaser Rishon Sheni. Year two, Maaser Rishon Sheni. Now it's year three. So he says, vis-a-vis the previous years, the prior years, so now, as between Maaser Rishon and Maaser Sheni, it's not HaMaaser. Only one of those Maaserot, which is going to be Maaser Rishon. HaKetzad, Maaser Rishon u'Maaser Ani, I'm sorry, did I skip something? Yael Maaser Echad. HaKetzad, Maaser Rishon u'Maaser Ani. Right. U'Maaser Sheni Yivatel. So we think in year three, I'm going to drop Maaser Sheni, and I'm going to have Maaser Ani. And Maaser Sheni Yivatel. Now, there has to be a Maaser Ani in year three because the pasuk says you're going to shnat hamaaser and you're going to give it. You're going to give the maaser to Levi and the ger the atam and the mana b'chubisharechol b'sadeyu. So the Gemara takes it. The ger he says the proselyte, the convert, the atam and the mana. The Gemara takes it. Those are the poor people. And the Levi is the Levi. That's what we think. So the Gemara says, again, we're not done with the Rabbi Shimon Levi statement. So he says, HaKetzad Maaser Rishon Maaser Ani, U'Maaser Sheni Yivatel. And Maaser Sheni goes by the wayside. Oh, Eino La'af Maaser Rishon Nami Yivatel. Maybe the Pshat in the Pasuk is that it's not a Maaser. There's only one Maaser in year three. And that's Maaser Ani. And when the Pasuk says, V'nat Tala Levi, it includes the Levi as a poor person. He doesn't have a nachala. So he's also a poor person. So the Gemara says, maybe that's the pshat. So the Gemara says, we have to read this pasuk with another pasuk from Parshat Korach. This is the last parsha, the last few pesukim in Parshat Korach. It says, V'yel ha-Levi'im t'zaber v'amar t'alihem. You'll speak to Levi'im and say to them, Ki t'chume b'nei sot ha-maaser, sh'natak t'lechem i'itam b'nachlatchem. When you take your maaser, which I've given to you, the nachalachem, as your, hereditary share. The Torah connects the maaser rishon, the maaser that's given to Levi, to nachala. Nachala is my hereditary land in Eretz Yisrael. He says, ma nachala in lahefsek. If I have a nachala in Eretz Yisrael, and it goes through Yerusha, the Yerusha never ceases. Right? Because my children get it, my grandchildren get it, and even if Rachman and Flan don't have any children, then the Mishpacha moves over and gets it. But somebody from my family gets it. So my Nachala is unceasing. My Nachala is unceasing. So he's saying, just like the Nachala is unceasing, Maaser Rishon is also unceasing. It always keeps going. Let's see back in the Gemara. Okay, now we're in the middle of this limud, we're not done yet. So just to summarize the last number of lines, so we had the Pasuk, and it called the year three, Shinat HaMaaser, the year of the Maaser, one Maaser. So the Pshat HaRishum Levi says, what is the year of the Maaser? The year of the Maaser means that up until now, you're doing Maaser Rishon Sheni, and now Maaser Sheni is going by the wayside, and instead you'll give it to the Ani. But vis-a-vis those two Maaserot, you're only going to have one, Maaser Rishon. So the Gemara says, but maybe the pshat is you don't have either one of them. Maybe Shana Maaser is just Maaser Ani alone. And when the Pasuk says you'll give the lady the Gerli Otobamana, it means all of them are the Ani, right? And let's take a look at the Rashi and then more we'll see in a minute. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the Pasuk in Korach says that the Maaser Rishon is like Nachala, it's unceasing. So unceasing, so it keeps going even in the third year. Okay, now wait 1 second. Let's take a look. 1 second. Look at the fifth narrow line in Rashi. Oh, af Maaser Rishon Yivatel. Maybe in the Havamina, maybe Maaser Rishon is going by the wayside. Ushnana Maaser Chad Kamar Hahid Mefarsh Ba'Aziel. In other words, only one Maaser, the one that he goes on to explain. Lady Lagerli Tomo Mana Gumaser Ani, Shaf Levi Bakla Ani, Shemunakla Kilak Baritz. The Levi is also maybe considered Ani because he doesn't have, you know, Yerushan Eretz Israel. All right, let me just do another 10 lines and then I will pause and then we will take questions and comments and thoughts. Okay, now the Gemara continues. Now that was the same in Rabbi Shuben Levi, who I said already is like on the borderline between Tanaim and Amoraim. Tani Nami Hafi, we learn a Brisa that supports Rabbi Shuben Levi. Let's see the Brisa. The Brisa says, Ki Tekalela Ser Gomer, when you finish taking the Maaser, and it says Shnata Maaser, Shana She'ein Ba'el Maaser Echad, a year that only has one Maaser, HaKetzad, Maaser Rishon Maaser Ani. He says that you have only a Maaser Rishon Maaser Ani. Umaaser Sheni Yivatel, and Maaser Sheni is going by the wayside. Yichol Af Maaser Rishon Nami, now I might think, this is a little different than what we had before, I might think that Maaser Rishon also goes by the wayside. It says, Tamalomar Uva Levi. Now this pasuk is in Parshat Re'eh. Uva Levi, he says, Kol Zman Sheba Tein Lo Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Let's take a look. It says, let me get the pasuk out, because you always need to took him at this. So Devarim Yud Dalid, one second. Top 10, thank you. Wonderful, wonderful, then you're in wonderful shape. Now, it says here, so the pasuk says, Miksei Shaloshanim, Tosiko Masar Kudacha Bashanah, Yivinech Tabasharecha. So it's talking about the third year. In Parshat Re'eh, it's talking about the third year. And then it says, Uva HaLevi, the Levi will come, because it is a Mechelik Nachala, and the Ger and the Yatomi Almana, and the Achlu B'Sabeah, they'll eat and be satiated. So let's take a look now, back in the Gemara. So it says, Tamalomo Uva Levi, the Levi is going to come, calls Man Shabbat Tein Lo Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So Tana Rabbi Yehuda says, whenever he shows up, meaning whether it's year one, two, or three, or four, five, or six, give it to him, meaning the food. He says, Reb Lezer ben Yaakov Omer, Eino Tzarech. Reb Lezer ben Yaakov says, I don't need that limud. He says, Harehu Omer, V'yelovim Sabir V'almar Talihem, Ki Techumi ben Yisrael Ed Maaser. Now again, the reason Reb Lezer ben Yaakov doesn't like that limud is because it could be that it's talking about the Levi, the Baal Levi. It could be that he's getting the Ani, the Maaser Ani. It's not Mukhrach that he's getting it as a Levi. So he says, so Reb Lezer ben Yaakov Omer, Eino Tzarech. The Torah compares or links, you know, the Maserishon to the Nachala, to the hereditary land. Manachla in the Hefseh, just like Nachala is unceasing for reasons that I explained, Af Maserishon in the Hefseh. So Maserishon also keeps going. And in the Shemitah year, you're not harvesting the Tvua, but as long as you're harvesting, then you have to give the Maserot. Okay, so the main point is that we've proved or we've sorted out the years with the Maaserot. Who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I said so far? What's up? I'm Daniel, letting everybody up. What's up?
You said Maaser, but you have Maaser, you have Maaser Ani. That's two Maaser. That's not one singular. Why are we not counting Maaser Ani? It's a Maaser and it's a day.
Okay.
The amount of it is
okay. Let's go over again. Okay. So we said.
It's not Maaser Sheni. Okay, fine.
Okay. So if you're one, I'm saying Maaser Rishon and Maaser Sheni. Year two, I'm doing Maaser Rishon, Maaser Sheni. Now on year three, it says, this is Shnat HaMaaser. So the first way is learning the Gemara with the Rabbi Shuben Levi and the Brisa Masupak about this. What is Shnat HaMaaser? But the first way is, instead of giving two Maaserot, you're going to give one Maaser.
You're not giving the Ani or you are giving the Ani?
We're not up to the Ani yet. As between those two Maaserot, we're only giving one. That's it, Maserishon. Or maybe we shouldn't give any Maasro, which is what you want to say. So that's what the Gemara said. We're not giving any Maasro. The Gemara says you can't say that because the Pesukim teach me that the Levi keeps getting it. So that shot is not gonna.
The amount you give to Ani is exactly the same amount as you are calling Maaser Ani as well, and it's a replacement of the same thing.
Say again, repeat.
Ota giveret b'shinu yader, and instead of giving Maaser Levi, you give Maaser Ani.
Wait a second.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Now, who, any other questions, comments, thoughts? What do you got for me, Fern? Let me hear you.
Yeah. What's the implication for year number six?
What do you mean? What? So yeah.
In other words, I understand.
Yeah. So it sounds like every 3 years it repeats. That's the way it sounds like. It's talui, like the Chumash says that there's a mitzvah vidui maaser, like on the fourth and the Pesach following
the third year and the Pesach following the sixth year, you have to, you know, say you've made final distribution. So we learned in Rosh Hashanah that if you have a chiv of Meiser, you'll be over on Baal Ta'acher, because the master is like, it didn't Baal Ta'acher, but you have a chiv of Vidui Meiser, so you made distribution. What's up, Robert? Well, again, there's a number of... Okay. All right, so it's true. I mean, the Torah doesn't require me to give away all my property. The Torah has a cheshbon, so there's different matonanim. Every year you give a certain amount to the ani, if you're a farmer, right? You have the peah, you have leket shechen peah every year. And then there are other matonanim that, you know, exist in the chumash. So, then you have the people give tzedakah, maaser, or whatever, but the thing from the earnings, but the Torah has a limit on what I'm obligated to do. And this is the way it works out. I don't know why the cheshbon is that only the third year and the sixth year, but that's the cheshbon. But it's not like they're cutting the wool, leaving them in the cold, but that maybe this, you say that they get a special gift in the third and the sixth year. I don't know. All right. Everybody good? All right.
And the seventh year old for Shemitah, there's a bunch of things that they're getting as well.
Which is the seventh year?
Seventh year,
right. Okay, that's true. Okay. All right. Let's go further in the Gemara. Okay, now the Braisa said that Rosh Hashanah, when I say Rosh Hashanah, I mean the first of Tishrei, it's Rosh Hashanah for Nedarim. Now, we learned previously that the first of Nisan was Rosh Hashanah for Regalim. And we learned that regalim meant Pesach, and that was for Baal Ta'acher. In other words, so if a person made a neder, he has to fulfill it, you know, within, you know, three regalim. But we learned the Tana of our Mishnah holds like Reb Shim, and then it has to be the three regalim Kesidron. So if that's the case, what is Nedarim talking about here? What does the Braisa mean that Rosh Hashanah is the Rosh Hashanah for Nedarim? So Tana Rabbanim, we learned the Braisa, Hamudar Hanami Chaveiro, means if Reuven says that Shimon's property is prohibited on him. In other words, Reuven can make a net of that way. He says, Lishana, if he says for 1 year, he says, Mona Shnei Masar Chodesh Miyom Liyom. So then he's got to count 12 calendar months, 12 months. So it doesn't sound like it makes a difference whether Shana Muberet or not Muberet. It's 12 months. Vimamar Lishana Zu, if he says for this year, Afilu Amad Elibes Shimitisha Be'elul, even if the day he makes the neder is the 29th of Elul, he says, which is the day before Rosh Hashanah, Kemen Shigi Yom Echad B'Tishrei, once Rosh Hashanah rolls in, Al Talo Shana. That's 1 year. So that's the din in the Darim. Now, we had a similar din not too long ago. Who remembers the din? What? No, that wasn't the din about Shana Zu and Shlishana. No. Who? No, that wasn't the halacha that I was thinking about. Remember? Anybody remember in the cyber world? When I say it, you're all going to remember. Wait. No, remember on daf. 1 second. You had it. One second. On daf Zayin Amud Beis, we had the braisa of Yeshurim Afla Schirat Batim. Remember, by Schirat Batim, the first of the right. Schirat Batim. Okay, on Zion Amud Beis.
Right.
Hamas Kirba, now you remember, yeah. Hamas Kirbait L'chaveiro. If a person says, I'm leasing it to you for a year, you count 12 months. If I say Shana Lazu, it's only till the first of Nisan. Right, that's the halacha that I think that fits, you know, on all fours. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. This is Tishrei. And the other part is different. Remember, over there, it had to be at least 30 days. Here's one day. Let's see what's going on with this. Yeah. We had that on that base about 1 day, but that wasn't.
Because they said don't lease for less than 30 years.
You say Shana, it's 12 months. The Shana Zoo, it's till the end of the year. Anyway, let's see back on the Gemara.
But they resolved that you don't lease for less than 30 days. That's not right.
Okay. Now you got it, Fern. Let's wait. Now okay. Okay. Now the Gemara says, "Afilamanda Mar Yom Echad B'Shana Inu Chashuv Shana." Now remember, we studied with the Machloket between Reb Meir and who? Between Reb Meir and Reb Lazar, right? That whether Yom Echad B'Shana Chashuv Shana or 30 days in the year is Chashuv Shana. So the Gemara says, means not like Reb Meir, but like Reb Lazar. You need 30 days. So he nevertheless will agree with this halacha. Let's see, Uri Nafshi Kabilai. He says when a person makes a neder like this, it sounds like he just wants to afflict himself. In other words, he just wants to impose restrictions on himself. In other words, I'm trying to like impose restrictions on myself. He says, behind starlight. It means that his intent has been fulfilled. In other words, we'll see in a minute. In other words, by Nadarim, a lot is based on the person's intent and his language, the way people speak. So his intent is just to be Mitzayer himself, not necessarily for 30 days, but any amount. He says, Ve'eman Nisan. So the Gemara says, why do we say that the Rosh Hashanah is the first of Tishrei? Why do we say, just like we did by the din of Baal Ta'akhir, that it's Nisan? It's Ve'eman Nisan, and just like we did by the Batim. It says, B'nedarim Halechachar L'shon B'nei Adam. B'nedarim, that's an important klal, you don't necessarily follow language, halachic language in the Chumash or things like that. You follow common parlance, the way people speak. Let's see Rashi. He says, Haira, around the 10th narrow line of Rashi from the top, Lashon Pnei Adam, She'en Adam Noder El Lashon Shu Ragil Daber. A person makes neder in his regular language, V'derech Pnei Adam L'Kro Tishrei Rosh Hashanah. People, when they say Rosh Hashanah, they mean the first of Tishrei. So we're not going with Nisan. All right? Okay. So that piece is done. Any questions on this?
Yeah, it depends on the time and the place what Lashon Bnei Adam is and what the intentions are.
All right. Now, one second. Okay. Now, there's a piece here.
Mara says should not be necessarily applicable for today.
I don't know. Now, let's take a look. Now, let's take further than the Gemara. Now, I think today people call Rosh Hashanah Rosh Hashanah.
No, with respect to that, yes. But other things, they might mean other things.
So Lashon Bnei Adam might change. I have to look at that. Now, let's take a look 10 lines from the bottom. All right. Now, again, we said that when it comes to Masrot, there's a critical point, which is in its growth, which determines, in other words, you need the calendar date, whether it's Rosh Hashanah or Tu B'Shvat, you know, to determine whether it's year A or year B, but at that point, it has to be at a certain critical point in its growth. So the critical point in its growth, if it's Tavua, it's a third of its growth. So if it got to a third of its growth by Rosh Hashanah, then it's year, you know, the year before Rosh Hashanah. If it's a third of its growth after Rosh Hashanah, is there. And we said by the fruit, it's Chanata, when it comes out with the bud. And then by the vegetables, it was Lakita, when it's plucked from the ground. So let's take a look now in the Mishnah. Now, Tanana Tam, we learned the Mishnah Masechet Masrot. Hatiltan, Tiltan is Fenugreek. And if you look at Rashi, he says, hi, wrapping in the small bays. Min Tavlin, Fenugreek. It sounds like Fenugreek. And that's one of the Machalim that we have on Rosh Hashanah, right? It says, Adam Ragil Mechab Reshata, Rubia, the Hainu Tiltan. In other words, person sheet Rubia, which is Tiltan. And so if you assume Tiltan is Fenugreek, then that's what you should have. Now, okay, please. Now, he says, Tiltan, Mishatitzmach. Tiltan, the critical point, again, it's a vegetable, Mishatitzmach. Rashi says, Shazera Someach Bekoko, that the seed is growing in it. But we'll see in a minute that that other Rishon don't understand exactly like that. That they want to say that it grew so much that the seed could be planted. And the way the Rambam understands it is a third of its growth. Okay, so Tiltan would be like the grains. So a Tiltan mishtitzbach, ha tavua bahazaitim, when it comes to tavua and zaitim, now tavua, so Rashi's going to explain, that means Dagon and Tirosh. In other words, the tavua is the grains, and tavua is also the grapes. Hatavua ba'azeitim and the olives, mishiav yushlish, when they grow one third of their growth. So now the Gemara says, mishatitzmach. What does it mean, mishatitzmach, when it sprouts out? Mishatitzmach lizroim. When it grows, when it sprouts forth lizroim. But I explained to you already that, so the way the Rama understands that it grew so much that the zera could be planted, which the Rama identifies as a third of its growth. All right, now let's see further in the Gemara. Well, please, one second. I'll pause in just a few minutes. Just be patient. Okay, now. Now, the Gemara says, Hatavu about Zaytim and Shevi Yushlish. The Mishnah said, Tavu and Zaytim, when they grow one-third of their growth, and again, you see, the second Tosfo says, he quotes Rashi when the seeds are growing in it, but then he says at the end of Tosfos, he says, look at four lines near the end of the Tosfos, he says, Mashma mishtisbach lizroim ha'nush nigmar bishulam kolkach shim toshin otam lizroim otam l'makom acher matzmiach. So Tosfos takes it that the shot is that the plant has grown so much that the seeds that are in it could be themselves planted and come forth with another, you know, vegetable, which the Rambam takes it as a third of its growth. Now, let's take a look back in the Gemara in the small alpha in parentheses. So tavu and zaytim, when they've grown a third of their growth, that's the critical point. Now, that'll determine whether it's year two or three. Menani Mile. So where do we know this halacha from concerning tavu and zaytim that the third of its growth is going to be koveya? Amar Abbasim of Yochanan. So Rabbi Yossi says to Rabbi Yochanan, and others are inclined to say it was Rabbi Yossi who said this, the Mishmei Rabbi Yossi Aglili, the Rabbi Yossi Aglili is a Tan, Rabbi Yochanan is a Namora. Abar Kro, Mikit Sheva Shanim B'Moed, Shnanash B'Tah B'Chak HaSukot. So there's a Pasuk in Chumash. This is at the end, I think, one second. Get the Pasuk out. We're trying to understand how do we know that a third of its growth is the key for the term. In other words, I know that there's one. I know that there's years for vegetables like Rosh Hashanah, but how do I know? And I know there's years for tavua as well. I know it's also Rosh Hashanah, but the critical stage we said is where it's achieved a third of its growth. So where do we know that from? Okay, now this pasuk is. One second. What pasuk is it? What? Yud? Okay, thank you. All right. Yeah. So this is talking about the mitzvah Hakel. It's in Parshas Vayelech. So it says, "Miketz shemesh nimuweich shanash mitav b'chagas sukkot." Let me see it outside, then we'll do it inside. So at the end of the Shemitah year, and the Sukkot following the Shemitah year, you're going to have the mitzvah Hakel. Hakel is the king goes to the Azar of the Beis HaMikdash and reads portions of Sefer Devarim to the Anashim Nashim B'tah, to the men, the women, and even the children. Okay, that's the mitzvah Hakel. Now, I will say to you that there is Machlok Rishon in what the Pasuk means. And the way I recall, and Rav Simon, I believe, mentions this in the Sefer, that according to the Ibn Ezra, it doesn't mean the sukkahs following the Shemitah year, it means the sukkahs, and it was, what does Miketz Sheva Shani mean? Miketz means like the edge of 7 years, so that could mean the beginning, could mean the end. So the way the Ibn Ezra learns it is the beginning of the 7th year, and it was sukkahs in the beginning of the 7th year, you have Mitzvah Hakel. But, in other words, you just began Shemitah, you're a few weeks in Shemitah, and now, so according to the way the Ibn Ezra learns, so we would have had Hakel a few weeks ago. But according to the way most Rishonim learn, it's the Sukkot, which is after the Shemitah year, which is really the 8th year. So the Gemara is going to lock onto the idea as to why is it that he calls it Shnat HaShemitah. It's really the 8th year. Let's take a look back on the Gemara. So the Gemara is going to say that it's to teach you that you have crops that are harvested in the 8th year, but are called 7th year crop. So I'm harvesting it as the 8th year. But even if I'm harvesting it now, it grew a third of its growth in Rosh Hashanah. That's what is coming out, okay? So we're done with the Shemitah year. It's like, you know, say that Rafi's not here tonight. We're done with the Shemitah year. But since if I harvest it now during Sukkot, it must have grown a third of its growth already before Rosh Hashanah. So it's treated like Shemitah fruit. It's treated like Shemitah growth, okay? So let's take a look back on the Gemara. So the Mikhei Sheva Shnim Uwe Shnana Shemitah B'chaka Sukkot. Shnana Shemitah Ma'yavidite B'chaka Sukkot. What does Shemitah have to do with the Sukkot? He says, "B'chag Sukkot, Shmini." That's the 8th year. So, what are you talking about, Shmita? It's post Shmita. El Lamar Lecha is to teach you, called Tavua Shivi Shlish B'Shviit Lefnei Rosh Hashanah. That if the crops grew a third of their growth before Rosh Hashanah, Atanoi Bo Minak Shviit B'Shmini. So those dinim, in other words, so even though I'm harvesting it, it's the 8th year, but it has the dinim of the seventh year. It's the same as if I harvested it in the seventh year, which whatever dinim applied then. So that's the raya. So Amalei Reb Zeira Ravasi. So Reb Zeira says Ravasi, top line of Gilam and Aleph, the dima lo ayil klal. Maybe it means that that even if it hasn't begun to ripen at all, that it's teaching me that there's a prohibition. Maybe the Peshat and Pasuk means different. Maybe the Peshat and Pasuk means that it, again, Sukkot, but it calls it Shnat HaShemitah, to teach me the prohibitions of Shemitah go through till Sukkot. So just like during Shemitah, I can't plow, I can't sow the land, maybe the Pasuk is teaching me I can't plow and I can't sow till after Sukkot, even though it's the eighth year. Maybe that's what the Pasuk is teaching. So this is Vedilma lo ayil klal, Vekama rachmana tishami tetez lo taka Sukkot. So the verse is lo taka daikat. I wouldn't think such a possibility. The thief, there's another Pasuk in Parshat Mishpatim, says Vechag ha'asif betzeir ha'shpanan. It says you'll have Chag ha'asif, the holiday of the harvest, betzeir ha'shpanan, when the year, at the end of the year. So my asif, ilayim ha'chag ha'bab zman asifa, maybe I'll say the chag that comes during the harvest season. Hakiv waspecha. Now the pasuk says v'chag ha'asif betzeir ha'shana, but waspecha ma'asecha min asadeh. So the pasuk repeats twice asifa, which is harvesting. So what is it telling me chag ha'asif? In other words, if it's telling me that it's the harvest festival, the pasuk already says but waspecha ma'asecha min asadeh. Pasuk already said when you're harvesting, you know, all your growth from the field. So what's chag ha'asif? So he says, so my asif, ilay mechaka ba bizman asifa, hakriba wasbacha, my asif katir. What is asif? It means katir, it means that which you harvest is going to be considered to be part of the previous year. In other words, so it's locking in the previous limud. In other words, it's saying there are things you're going to harvest now, but they're still considered from the previous year. The Chachamim established that any tavua that's harvested on Sukkot, you can rest assured that it grew a third of its growth before Rosh Hashanah. So from here, I see the raya that the year that it grew a third of its growth, that's the key. The Kakari Le B'Tzeit Hashanah, it calls it B'Tzeit Hashanah, it means that it's related, and B'Tzeit Hashanah is like the last year, the year that they're leaving. So B'Tzeit Hashanah, that the crops that you're harvesting now are related to Tzeit Hashanah, the previous year. So I'm really Rabbi Yirmiyah the Rabbi Zeira. So Rabbi Yirmiyah says to Rabbi Zeira, you're getting a jump on tomorrow's daf. I'm really Rabbi Yirmiyah the Rabbi Zeira. He says, V'kimlu Rabbanan ben shlish, the pachot mishlish. The Chacham is a third of the growth. Were they so expert that they're able to determine that crops grew a third of the growth before Rosh Hashanah? So that's what the Chachamim established, that it's a third of the growth. So that's you're asking like Rabbi Yirmiyah is asking, right? He says, were they so exact on that? I mean, clearly it grew something before. If I'm harvesting it now, so it grew something before Rosh Hashanah. But the Chachamim said it grew a third of it before Rosh Hashanah. So Amarle, Lavamilach, Lotapik Nafshach, Barney Hilkata. Haven't I told you, the Chavdir Gezak, that you have to show a lot of kavod for the Chachamim? Don't scoff on any of the Chachamim things the Chachamim say. Kol Mido Chachamim Kenu. Because you could say that by all the midot the Chachamim had, but arba imsa hu tovel, the arba imsa chaser kortovel yicholikol lahem. Chachamim say the mimishir for mikvah is 40 sa'a, which we know is one amma by 3 amot. So if you're tovel in 40 sa'a many gishamim, then the tefillah goes. If you're missing a kortov, and the kortov, Rashi helps us out, is 1/8 of an eighth of a log. So a log could be somewhere between 3 and 5 fluid ounces, let's say. So an eighth of an eighth would be 1/64 of that. So it's like less than a fluid ounce. So he says, it's missing a small drop, you can't be tovel. Kibetza matami tumut ochlin. If the food is tame and it's the size of a betza, so it can transmit the tuma to other foods and to other things, not other foods, to other things. Matami tumut ochlin. He says, if it's a beitza minus a sesame seed, which is very small, this can't be metami tumut ochlin. Now, Rashi goes through, how do they know this mida? Rashi says, I'm established that the beta blia, a person's throat can swallow an egg.
Like, in other words, like that's the size of a person's throat. And it says, Mikola Ochla Shayachel. So in other words, Ochla Shayachel, that's the amount that can be in the tumah. Then Shlosha Shlosha Matami Midras. If I have a piece of cloth that measures 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim, it's acceptable to it midras. And Daphne, only people remember. We have certain people who are Tamei. Who wants to explain it to me? Right. And who else? Right. Anita, not about Terry. Anita is that way, right? Anita, I think, also has Tumas Midras. Anyway, so the thing is that Tumas Midras, though, we didn't explain. It means that even though they're an Avatuma, but the item they sit on also becomes an Avatuma, right? So it usually goes down a notch. Here it doesn't go down a notch. But it has to be something that's designated for seating. But so a cloth, I can designate a cloth for sitting, but it has to be over here. 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim. So if it's 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim, then it's missing one thread, it's not matami midras. So all the chachamim are exact about everything. And then the Gemara says, one line and go. So the Rebbe says, I made a mistake making that statement. Which one? What's the question? Right.
Measure.
What's the question? What do you mean?
You don't know how big this is going
to
be.
No. In other words, the chachamim, you know, they calculated a shear that a plant grows a third of its growth before Rosh Hashanah. It's harvested on Sukkot.
Wait a minute.
Right.
So if they know that I can plant the lettuce, they want it.
Again, we're not talking about lettuce. We're not talking about vegetables. We're talking about grain. Grain. So I plant the grain, the wheat, and I harvest the wheat on Sukkot. So the Gemara says that it grew a third of its growth before Rosh Hashanah.
That's my point. In other words, you could know how long it takes to rain from the floor.
Right. All right. No, but the Gemara is learning from the Pasuk. In other words, you can make that. But how do I know that the third is the shear? You're right. You could make that estimate. But how do I know that the Torah is saying that the key element is whether it grew a third or not? So where would I get that figure, a third? So the Gemara says, you know it from the Pasuk. The Pasuk is teaching me that the crops that I harvest at Sukkot, they're attributable to the prior year before Rosh Hashanah, because they grew a third of their growth in the last year. That's why it's shy. Okay, now.
And we said, remember the Moshe of Sinai. I mean, everything else we said, that's
halakha. Yeah. So,
and also they say one third. I know that I read somewhere that it says that it's edible. It's a minimum shiur with being edible. Maybe similar to Ben Grossai, that one third of the cooked is considered to be a minimal shiur. Isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's what's the third or a half, but some say it's the third. Okay, let me just do a story, and then that will be it for today.
Daf on Shabbos is at 4:40.
4:40 for instance, it's up on Shabbos. Okay. Earlier. But it's going to get a whole lot earlier in just a few weeks. Now, all right, I'll just do the story and that will be it. Now, this relates to a line of the Gemara we did last night. Okay, we said the Rav Chisda says, Barokin tilt the broken idonu. And it was really today's daf, we did it yesterday, that the Dora Mabul, they sin Barokin, means like with their semen. In other words, like. And right, so they got boiled with the water. So the way he translates it here, they inflame themselves to sin, so the retribution was exacted through the heat of scalding waters. Now, this manifestation of the bad meat itself is what came to punish them in the end. Once, in a certain small town, there lived a man who was known to get infuriated over every little thing. When he would get angry, he would literally thrash his arms and stamp his feet, and his whole body just screamed fury. Everyone in town called him Angry Zalman. I guess it would be maybe Farbissina Zalman, I say, if we do the translation. Okay. Okay. Farbissina is like a very bitter person. Now, when this man became old, he grew very ill. There was given a Zer out and a Zer crop. People summoned the town doctor, and after he examined Zalman, he announced that the patient had only a few more hours to live. The man's family members ran to call the members of the Chevra Kadisha so they could attend to him during his final moments. I don't know if that's the most reassuring thing, but that's what they did. The news soon passed from person to person around the town. Hearing this, the children decided to enjoy a cruel joke. Since they knew how volatile Zalman was, they wanted to see how he would act on his deathbed. So he went and climbed up the lattice work of his home so he could get a good, clear view into his room through the window. There he lay on his deathbed with no other thought than that he was about to leave this world. Surrounded by his family and the Chevra Kedisha, about to say Vidui and Kriyat Shema for the very last time, he suddenly spotted the children clinging to the window frame and staring at him. Completely unable to contain his fury, Zalman began to scream at the children to come down from the window. Using his very last ounce of strength, Zalman died shrieking and flailing his arms and legs, just as he had over every minor incident throughout his long life. Rav Shalom Shvadron Zatzal, I assume he means the Maggid of Yerushalayim, the more recent one, would end this story by saying, this is what happens to a person who doesn't refine his midot. Whatever bad trait besets him the most is the one that comes back to haunt him in the end. And Michael will corroborate that. Okay, now, I want to see everybody, and it's nice seeing everybody. Fern, nice seeing you. Ruth, nice seeing you. Aramosha, nice seeing you. Mordechai, nice having you. I hope to see everybody on Shabbat.